with my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight.
Our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So the title of the sermon is A Witness to the Light, A Confessor to the Christ. I want to back up to almost the beginning of John's Gospel. In fact, the beginning of John's Gospel is here on the altar. I think it's verses 1 through 5, and then verse 14 is up there at the bottom. So the beginning of John's Gospel is a prologue, kind of like Genesis. It talks about what happened at the beginning, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. And then it talks about the one who is the Word made flesh, Jesus. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that is something, as you've been watching these slides, I've noticed there are three candles, but they move around sometimes. Bottom left candle. Three candles lit up here. Great job, Reese. Pink candle today, the joy candle that we rejoice. You heard Pastor Luke read that from the epistle lesson from 1 Thessalonians 5, that we rejoice that we have joy because even as the days grow short here at the end of the calendar year, we also know that the time grows shorter and shorter until our Savior returns. But even as dim or gloomy as things may seem or appear, the light still shines among us. And it's Jesus. And He was the life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then we have week 2 of John the Baptist. I got some different paintings in here. I think it was a Michelangelo. I was trying to ask Pastor Luke. You didn't know for sure. I don't know who the artist of this one is, but there was a man sent from God whose name was John. It's interesting in John's Gospel that he never refers to himself by name, John the Apostle or John the Evangelist or St. John the Revelator. He doesn't list off all the disciples or the apostles by name. He refers to himself as the one whom Jesus loved. He's talking about John the Baptist here. But it's interesting as we go through this because some of these things that he says just about John could also be true for St. John the Apostle. But this specifically is about John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he is buff, almost like Pastor Luke, a buff. And there are the crowds out there. He is a voice that is piercing the silence. Pastor Luke, you preached last weekend about it had been like 400 years. And there was nothing. And then John the Baptist comes and hark, check it out. Behold, a thrilling voice is sounding. And it's John the Baptist's voice, but he speaks because God has called him to speak. He cries because God tells him what to cry. He prepares the way. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. And here's John the Baptist. He looks a little like he hasn't got enough sun here, but he is often pointing. He's pointing. And you know, who's he pointing to, Reese? Who do you think he's pointing to? Well, to God, but specifically the one who was born of the Virgin Mary. Jesus, yeah, he's pointing to Jesus, and so he is, he's looking, and maybe he's looking right at you and me, or he's looking at generation upon generation who have been waiting for the chosen one, and he is bearing witness because he came as a witness about the light that all might believe through him. John was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. And especially important in these gray and latter days, as one of the hymns says, that one of the ways about thinking about the future is that it is difficult for us to see. In fact, the further out you go, maybe the more dim or hazy it gets. And here at the end of 2020, we rejoice that Christ is the light, that the darkness will never overcome, the eternal light, the everlasting light. Uncertainty about the future, uncertainty about, I heard the trucks are rolling now with the vaccines. two doses, maybe, about who will get the vaccine first, or maybe you're wondering, should you even get the vaccine at all? Uncertainty about things like wearing masks. Well, we've got a mask mandate in Marion County for quite some time, but also even after the vaccine and things, maybe the masks will never go away. And some of you look really good in your masks. Kidding. I don't know. I just came out of nowhere. Don't want to keep wearing masks. But uncertainty about things that are even close by. John Noel and I were talking last night because Thanksgiving, at least for your family, for our family this year, was just immediate family, just the five of us in the Countryman household. Didn't see anybody else. And then wondering in turn about Christmas plans. You're going to be able to see. And is it even safe to see anyone else? Maybe we'll get to see my grandma who lives in Fort Wayne and wave to her through the glass. Uncertainty about the economy. Uncertainty about e-learning. Well, at least some certainty to know that it ends on January 4th, at least here in Marion County. And that's a good thing. I see Mr. Steinbrunn. Thumbs up with that. Uncertainty about things in the church and just about how we measure things, whether it's attendance or giving. Because, look, I mean, we haven't had as many people in church. We've got a deficit. Uncertainty about so many things. And into this uncertainty, we hear again, and John the Baptist proclaims that Jesus, the light, is here. And the light shines in the darkness. It pierces the darkness. There is a voice that pierces the silence. And John the Baptist testifies, not about himself, but he's always pointing to the one who is the light and the life. See, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And now this side of our Savior's first advent, we know he came into the world, and by faith we trust that he is still here. When we in the church, we bear witness to the light. We confess the one who is the Christ. But John's gospel goes on to say that he was in the world and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. We've got like a phantom clicking going on. Did you click for me or just? Okay. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but were born from above, were born from God, reborn, were taken from death to life. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And as Lutheran Christians who have a sacramental theology, and that's why I think part of the reason verse 14 of John 1 is up here, is because we see his glory and we receive his glory with empty hands yet again today as you come, continuous line this morning, before the altar. To receive and trust that Jesus is here, our Emmanuel, that we can rejoice and sing. And so then today's reading picks up again at verse 19, and this is the testimony of John. Now, he means John the Baptist, but I don't know that you couldn't say John the Apostle. I don't know that you couldn't say Luke, John, what? Except for when the Jews sent priests and Levites. They haven't come to you, have you? You did go. You went to Jerusalem, didn't you? Yeah. And they came from Jerusalem to ask John the Baptist, who are you? And this is like, strangely, a verse that I love coming up here at verse 20. He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. It is a beautiful, it's considered a negative confession. See, the positive confession was when he said he came to bear witness about the light and Jesus is the light. That's a positive statement. Jesus is the light. This is a negative confession saying, I am not the Christ. And that is the beginning of some wonderful theology that can get even more basic than this. It can go to a first commandment reality. You know the first commandment, you shall have no other gods. Awesome. You shall have no other gods. And confessing that I am not the Christ, also really even more basic than that, is confessing that I am not God. And neither are you. Pastor Luke, we learned that at the seminary, right? Yeah. I'm not God, neither are you. And John the Baptist, he says, look, he knows who he is. He is comfortable in uncomfortable clothing, you might say. He knows his identity, and he says, I came to bear witness about the light. I know who the true light is. I am preparing the way for him. And then he confessed, and he did not deny, I am not the Christ. And that is something that I think is important for any Christian to confess. It's something that I, as a pastor, have certainly taken to heart. I, Troy, am not the light of the world, and I am not the Christ. Reflecting on, it was 4 years ago this weekend that Andrea and Piper and Ollie and Drew and I moved here to Indianapolis. Only been 4 years. In my first sermon, the title was, What's in a Name? Jesus is the name, means the Lord saves. But really I said, the title behind the title is, It's All About Jesus, Part 1. And then every time I preached that sermon, it was 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D. And then the next week was 2, A, B, C, D. And then Christmas Eve was 3A. And then I struggled with wondering, is Christmas Day 3B or 4A? Because it's all about Jesus, and I really only have one sermon. And this is 174, give or take. B. And in that sermon, one of the things I said, look, I mean, it is a blessing and it is an adventure to be called and to, as a Christian, to follow Jesus. And yet the thing that I will commit to being faithful to, and these are part of my ordination vows and Pastor Luke's too, and installation vows here, is that I will proclaim Jesus as faithfully as I can. The truth is that I need a Savior. I need the one who is the light of the world. I need a Christ just as much as you. I was going to say more, but I think it's like we equally do. We 100% are dependent. And toward the end of the sermon, I said something to the effect, depends if it was 1A, B, or C, or D, but it was all similar. Look, there will be times that I will let you down. Lord willing, not intentionally. And Lord willing, I'll ask for forgiveness. There will be times, and I noticed in one of the sermons, the one that got recorded, I said, essentially, it's like I'm moving into this house that's 165 years old, and I will want to move some of the furniture around, and you will be upset, and you will wonder, why are you doing this? You just got here. And maybe I've done that, literally or figuratively. Not to upset anyone. But the truth is, you also will let me down. And Lord willing, in humility and honesty, we will give and receive forgiveness all in Jesus, because the truth is, I'm not the light of the world. I am not the Christ. Now, I could use that as a crutch. Look, I'm not Jesus. But it goes further. It is to point to the one who is the light of the world, who is the Christ, to bear witness to the light, to confess the Christ. The Christ, it means the chosen one. The one who is chosen to be the hero of the story, and yet he does it by coming to suffer and die. The one who is the greatest comes to make himself the least, so that the least might be made into the greatest. The one who is without sin takes on the sin of all the world to overcome sin and purify the impure. And John the Baptist confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. It is good to know your identity, but that is not the confession of a Christian. Not yet. It just says, it's a good to know you're not going down the wrong road, at least. But he knows the one who is, and he comes to prepare the way. And they ask him, what then? Are you Elijah? I'm not. Are you the prophet? No. So they said to him, who are you? We need you to give an answer. We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And he said, I am the voice. And I just had a jingle in my head from an NBC show or something. But that he's the voice, not just any voice. He's a voice that pierces in his a clarion call amidst a competing cacophony of clamor. Is that a good enough alliteration? It was often on the spot. He is the voice of one crying in the wilderness. God sent Isaiah, his prophet, to proclaim, make straight the way of the Lord. For some reason, this thing just jumps ahead. Now they had been sent, Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. And they ask him, then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? Are you clicking this with me? It's just like, okay, well, I'll just turn it over. Can you, Piper, just go to whatever slide that the next verse is. Okay. Is that it? Go back one. Okay, now go up one. Yeah. So John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. There is one who is in your midst, who is with you. We just sang about him at the beginning of the service. O come, Emmanuel. It means God with us. It also is the theme for Pastor Luke's Christmas Eve sermon. So I'm just going to go ahead and preach it now. No. So, he's with you. He is standing in the midst of you, and yet it takes God-given faith to hear, and then as the heart and the mind and the eyes are open to see and the voice to confess that this one is the light of the world, that this one is the Christ. It takes faith to be honest about complete dependence. The world around me is dim and dark, and if you look inside of my heart, if you could see by my own human nature, it is dark. But there is one who is the light. The suffering servant who came and he hung on a hill called Calvary when the world went dark and took all that darkness into himself, not to be blotted out, but to ultimately to take it in and to then on the third day, he's risen that the darkness is overcome by the light, that death is swallowed up in victory. And that those who are called by faith to follow him and confess that, yes, he is even now in our midst. In the midst of whatever is going on, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of a crisis of faith, in the midst of boredom and wondering what you should do next if you're stuck in your house, in the midst of whatever it is, he's here. And in the end, all the challenging things, all the darkness is swallowed up, but we're not there yet. Okay, go to the next slide for me so I don't. Even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. That John says, I'm not even worthy to be his slave. And yet the one who is the King of Kings calls a servant like John to bear witness to the light, to confess the Christ, that Christ Jesus is the chosen one, the one who's chosen to save. In his baptism, he takes on the sin of the world. Let's go to the next slide. Just another picture, artist's depiction of Jesus' baptism. You see him there in the water, in the Holy Spirit, and there in the cruciform position, his legs down beneath the water because he's on the cross. And go to the next one, the Eisenheim altarpiece, where there is John the Baptist with his gnarled finger pointing. John the Baptist, who confessed and did not deny, I'm not the Christ, but I know who is. The one who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And yes, there is Good Friday there, but there is also Easter there, the Lamb who is victorious, who swallows up death in victory. So you and I are always, until Jesus returns, we're always in Advent. And in Advent, we're waiting. We're waiting for that great and glorious day. And yet we also can rejoice and sing. Because Emmanuel has come to us, and by faith we trust that he is with us and that he will come again. And in the midst of anything, in the midst of a pandemic, here is the reality of Emmanuel. Jesus is in the midst of us. And so by faith, as we are called to follow him, we can join with that long list of pointers and shouters, as Dr. Oswald said. You don't have to be a shouter, but pointers and shouters, thinking about John the Baptist, in confessing our Savior. I'll end with this thing. Dr. Oswald said, I don't know what Dr. Oswald's first name is. Jeff? Okay. So he said that on his tombstone, he would like to have this. He did no sign, but everything he said about this one was true. And this is actually something that in John's Gospel in John 10:41, actually the words are, John did no sign, but everything he said about him, about Jesus, was true. And would that be the confession that all of us make? Because at the end of the day, we're not the light and we're not the Christ, but we've been called by the one who is, Jesus, who is in the midst of us. Amen. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your minds and hearts in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.